Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and our friends from UltimateSportsTalk.com. The numbers each and every week, you should know it by now, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It is 267-297-1397. If you are a part of the Skype network, which will be used in the 10 o'clock hour by the one and only Jay Lethal, you need to add Sir Rockin'. Two words, and you'll be on our show. Like I just said, the one and only Jay Lethal will be with us for week three of the Month of Honor. We'll talk about this Saturday's debut of Ring of Honor on the Sinclair Media Network. We'll talk about his match at Death Before Dishonor 9 and some of the other crazy stuff that went on there.
Black Machismo coming?
I'm working on speaking to his agent. Something about he didn't want a snake man around, and it's real awkward when you try to talk to the Black Machismo. You gotta get a translator and everything, so.
Right.
Yep, Jamal may be with us, we're not 100% sure. Mace will be possibly with us in the 10 o'clock hour, so if you're wondering how things went for Mace on Sunday and his proclamation on certain matches and where they went, we'll get there. But we will start the evening. You heard the Resident Evil music. If you've seen her on WSU events, including the Uncensored Rumble 4, you know she is a big fan of the Resident Evil films and that whole genre, because she wore the Umbrella Corp gear to the ring for her no-hold-barred match with one of our favorites, Alicia. She is a part of an event that... are you going to be at the JT Lightning events, Bug?
I am going with all the other MCW trainees.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. So you can, if you're a fan of our show, you can meet Spug and walk up to him, and now you can realize who he is.
Douchebag.
Hey, our guest is also a part of an event this Saturday that's going to be at George's Cards and Collectibles, which is Sinamania 7. This is going to be at the Bucks County Technical High School in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that with someone who it took almost a year to get her here, and we're super excited that she is here. The one and only Jessica Havoc is here. Thank you so much for being here. We really are honored.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we were supposed to have you on before, I think it was before the Uncensored Rumble event, and Alicia was talking some good trash, and I kept saying to her, okay, I've seen her on DVD. I saw her kick the crap out of people in Uncensored Rumble 3. You know, this is the girl who's been dominating WSU. In many people's minds, you're the uncrowned WSU champion. Take us through just your recent issues with Alicia, especially her mom getting involved. You and Allison seem to be terrorizing this joint, and now you've added a third piece to this puzzle.
Yes. Well, I guess we'll just backtrack a little bit. Like you said before, a lot of people believe that I, Jessica Havoc, am the uncrowned WSU champion. And Alicia, you know, she has a little problem with that, and she can't get it past her thick skull that she's washed up, she's a has-been, she's done, she's had her time, she's had her shine. She's held that title, and she's lost it. So what kind of champion is that? And what I'm doing is bringing a whole new style and a whole new mix to WSU. And, yes, we did get her mother involved the first time I wrestled her. But the thing is, I want that title so bad that it doesn't matter who I have to go through. Her mom threw in the towel because she couldn't believe that her own daughter could beat me. She literally threw in the towel. She didn't think that Alicia could do it, so she threw in the towel and I won. And then she came back again, running her mouth about me, calling us John Deere tractor NASCAR loving people just because we're from Ohio, just because we're from the Midwest. First of all, I just want to clarify with all you idiots that Jessica Havoc hates NASCAR, okay? And
all right.
John Deere, please. I've never John Deere, that just disgusts me. And I don't even live anywhere near corn. So Alicia, you can suck it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to go off on that little rant.
Let me jump in for a second here. This has been going on for a while, so much so that at the last WSU event, I mentioned the third piece to the puzzle, and that would be the WSU Spirit Champion, Sassy Stephanie. The three of you now wish to be called the Midwest Militia. How long has this been in the works? Has this been something you and Allison have been talking to Steffi about? Because Steffi seemed like such a real nice girl, and you two came along, and now she's hell on wheels.
Well, here's the thing. I debuted at WSU before either of them. I debuted with the tag team partner, Haley Hatred. She went on to do other things, whatever, so we won't really talk about that.
Okay.
And then Stephanie started coming to the shows. And the thing is, Stephanie has always told us, you know, we've always been friends and everything. This is the three of us. She always said, you know, I handle business a little differently than you guys, but we've spent hours and hours and hours in the car together, going back and forth from Ohio to New Jersey. And Stephanie, you know, she was just a nice girl. And my whole thing is, and Allison realized, she listened to me and realized this a lot faster than Stephanie did. She thinks a lot like I do. And I think now we got, you know, we kind of explained to Stephanie how these stupid bitches are. But we would go to WSU. You know, we drive 7-8 hours to get there, 7-8 hours back. That's a long drive, honestly. No sleep, nothing. These girls never respected us. They looked at us like we were some, you know, aliens from another planet. And I think that they're a little jealous because we bring a little bit of style to the table. We have a different technique about us in the ring. And, you know, Stephanie, she would go there. She would try to be friends with these girls. She'd always had a smile on her face. None of these girls ever offered us a place to stay, never invited us out to go eat with them or anything like that, to even get to know us. So the thing is, I told Stephanie, you know, and like I said, we spend lots of time in the car together. I'm trying to explain to her that these people do not care. They don't care about us. So why should she care what they think about her? Why should she care about being nice to them? And then these fans, too, that come to these shows, you know, she goes out there and busts her butt, gets her butt kicked, and then in the end she comes up, you know, the winner. She busts her butt for these people, and they don't care. And she's finally realizing that. So she wised up, and she joined our team. Clean and simple.
I have to go back to your rant for a minute, because the high school I graduated from, we had Bring Your Tractor to School Day as part of our Spirit Week during homecoming week.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a cow pasture literally right there. There's a dairy farm and a cow pasture right next to our high school football stadium.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. And there's a farm across, there's a farm across the highway that's like 7 or 8 acres of corn.
Very nice. But what these East Coast idiots don't realize is not all of Ohio looks like that. So, but however, all of New Jersey, from what I could see, looks like just a bunch of disgusting slums and orange, gross, dark-haired people walking around pumping their fists in the air like that's supposed to mean something sweet. That's no stereotype. That's real.
As a native New Yorker, I'm not going to defend.
You have to pay to park there. You have to pay to park in New Jersey. At least you don't have to pay to park in Ohio. Not everywhere, anyway.
George Carlin once had a joke about New Jersey being a New Yorker. He said, the Garden State is so bad that even to back out of your driveway, you have to pay some schmuck in a toll booth a dollar.
Hey, listen.
There you go.
And I'm sorry if there's people in the Northeast listening, but as a New Yorker, I never liked Jersey. I'm sorry.
John Stewart said it best about Jersey. They called it the Garden State, so Jersey paved it over.
I got to bring this up because we mentioned Mercedes Martinez, who is the longest reigning champion in WSU and I think now in women's wrestling all over. The new commissioner, Amy Lee, already on paper has you set to take on Mercedes Martinez on March the 3rd. Couldn't do this any earlier? I mean, what's going on here? Is Amy trying to sandbag you? What's going on?
Well, it would look that way, but like I said before, I've proven myself time and again at WSU. I might add that I have an undefeated schools record there. So of course they're going to slow down my, you know, stairway to stardom there to Mercedes to take her title. And I think it's because she knows that I can do it. She knows that I could be the one to end her little reign on her longest, you know, reigning WSU champion. But I'm going to tell you something. A few months ago, actually back in November, I beat Amy Lee clean, fair, and square. So she means nothing to me. I have no respect for her, and she needs to stay out of the fucking wrestling ring.
Jessica Havoc joining us.
My French.
That's okay. We speak all languages here. Jessica Havoc is joining us here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. At this WSU event that's going to take place in November, we'll talk about the stuff at Cinemania, but Breaking Barriers 2 is going to see a War Games match. But before we talk about War Games, what was your initial reaction when you heard that former WWE Women's Champion Melina Perez signed to be on this event? Does this just make this now the absolute destination for wrestling fans?
Well, obviously, her agreeing to, you know, work with WSU was big news. Everybody was excited about it. And I think it is going to open a lot of other women's wrestling fans' eyes to what WSU has to offer. Her being there, I think, is going to draw some new fans' attention. And then these fans are going to watch these shows and realize what they've been missing if they haven't been watching it already.
What do you think when she said to you guys, all right, who set this up? Was this match, I'm trying to figure it out because I haven't seen the DVD from the last event yet from August. Amy Lee came up with this War Games thing. What did you girls think? Were you sitting there going, okay, are you really trying to eliminate us? Or did it flip in your mind going, this is my playground. This is going to be awesome for the three of us?
It was a little bit of both. Because it just showed me that they are obviously threatened by the talent that me, Allison Kay, and Sassy Stephanie have to offer. So I think it was just another obstacle for them to try to throw in our way, to stop us from doing what we're ultimately going to do, which is to literally take over WSU. We are going to take over the East Coast, and we are going to rid that place of all of the trash, starting with Alicia, Brittany Savage, and Mercedes Martinez. And Amy Lee, like I said, she is irrelevant at this point. I already beat her. I don't know what she's trying to do. Obviously, she's a little sore about that still because she went to throw that in the way. But at the same time, this cage match, this War Games, it's going to be sick. We are going to, and I will do whatever it takes. I am a woman of my word. I will literally kill a bitch. Watch me.
Well, you've definitely done it in WSU. I mean, at one point you were a part of Reign's army, and then you pretty much told them where to go stick it. So I'm a little amazed that you're a part of this faction, but you're leading the faction. What makes this different from what Reign was doing with the army?
Well, the difference between Rain's Army and the Midwest Militia is that we actually have, there's a reason that the three of us are together. Rain's Army, Rain, she was just hiding by a bunch, behind a bunch of her friends. She just, you know, threw together in the locker room. And I just took that opportunity when she asked me to be her reinforcer, as a way that was, cause I'm going to be honest, you know, there's some people, believe it or not, who still don't know who Jessica Havoc is. A lot of people know who Rain is. Rain has done great things in the business. She's been wrestling for over 11 years. So she asked me to be her reinforcer, and I accepted, and I'm glad that I did it because I did what I needed to do. I slowly took each and one of them out, showed them that I could beat them, that they are no better than me, and obviously I can do pretty good on my own. Like I said, I have a singles, an undefeated singles record at WSU. But Allison Kay, you know, I feuded with her at my home promotion, probably a little over a year ago. And, in that process, I realized that she is a lot like me and she has a lot of talent, a lot of potential. And I mean, what would you do in that? You see someone as strong, who can be as strong as you, who is as strong as you, who can do the same things you can. Why not join them? So I talked her into partnering up with me. We are currently the most dominating women's force in the Midwest at MCW, which is my home promotion. And, I mean, Stephanie's from the same area. She's a spirit champion, so obviously she has what it takes. And we're three girls who get the job done one way or another. We do exactly what we say we're going to do. So why not be a team? We are unstoppable at this point. Most dominating force in women's wrestling.
Team BJ.
Good one. Remember, no. I will see you and I will boot you right in the face.
Team BJ. Team Be Jealous. How many times have you been called that? You said it to me. You said it to me when I was talking to you about it.
Team Big Boot? Team Big Boot? What? You're going to get a big boot to the face?
That's fine.
Don't start stuff, man. I'm trying to keep this clean, and you're getting her recipe.
Listen.
The snot out of you in your training session.
She's a big girl, and I'm a wimp, and she could whoop my ass.
Legit.
Legit.
I could whoop anybody. I'm not scared of anyone.
Listen, the first time I saw her wrestle was at Quaker Steak and Lube at the end of August. And I had come out from going pee to see her put a boot in Steffi's face that looked like it rearranged Steffi's eyeballs.
Ooh.
I'm serious. She got out of-
We were fighting that day. She and I had a disagreement, but we're good. Anyway.
So you said, all right, we're going to go to the ring and we're going to settle this crap.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be a great way to in relationships? So you have a ring in the back of your house and your boyfriend
sure.
or girlfriend screw up and you're like, get your ass on the ring now. Like, oh, crap, I'm going to get stretched by Jessica Havoc.
That would be ideal.
I want to take fans back. Go ahead. Go ahead, Spud.
Well, we were... The unfortunate thing was is that it was... That show was shortly after the passing of JT.
Right.
And...
That was the same day.
Was it the same day?
It was. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, he passed literally an hour before that show started.
Okay. Because, see, I remember seeing tweets and texts about it Tuesday.
Well, the thing is, people are idiots. And they, like, everybody, I mean, before the guy even died, people were already tweeting and, you know, posting on Facebook, rest in peace, JT Lightning. And, you know, his kids had to go on there and be like, look, he's still with us, you know, but thank you for your thoughts and prayers and everything. People just, whatever. I'm not even, this is a
right.
whole nother.
Oh, I didn't want to get into that. I was going somewhere else. But as we were sitting there talking that night, I introduced myself. It was right when I first started training with Kevin, with Shasta. And
right.
I introduced myself, and we were talking about women's wrestling. And I mm-hmm. asked you the question, and you said, oh, honey, I have a lot on my mind. Ask me some other time, and I'll give you a big, long answer. So guess what? Here's another time.
Oh, yeah. And
yes,
you got an open forum, so.
Yes.
This is the right time and the right place, so ask away.
But I was asking you about women's wrestling, and I asked you if you were offended by what they have done to women's wrestling and the fact that they ignore individuals like Mae Young and Moolah and Wendi Richter and Sherry Martel and the legacy that has built up to, you know, what the legacy of women's wrestling, you know, and they fill it with Barbie doll porn star models who don't know a hammerlock from a hand job.
Like a certain Divas champion, maybe? I'm not saying Knockouts champion, because I like the Knockouts champion. I like the TNA Knockouts champion. Winter is awesome.
Who even is the Knockouts champion right now? I don't even watch it.
It's Winter. She used to be in WWE. They hotshotted the bell between her and Mickie James.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about women's wrestling a little bit. Now, everybody knows, obviously, and I think this is going in both directions, both in WWE and TNA, honestly. Professional wrestling has gotten to the point now, for men and women, where you have to look a certain way to be a wrestler. And if you don't look like a bikini model or a bodybuilder, you're not going to make it to TV. And this is mostly, you know, with WWE. It does sting a little bit to see someone like Kelly Kelly, holding the WWE Divas Championship title. It does kind of annoy me that, she does a head scissors where her legs are wide open, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because come on, sweetie, your legs don't have to be open all the time.
Hey.
snap. Did I just say that? But anyway, back on subject here.
She's such a wholesome Christian girl. I love this.
Okay. There's a lot of girls, and I don't know. My mind just goes a million different ways when I talk about this, but on the WWE, there are girls there who can work. I'm sad that Michelle McCool, she retired or whatever, because honestly, like, when she first started there, I didn't really like her. I've wised up a little bit to women's wrestling these days, because you just have to look at it this way. Yes, I'm pissed that Kelly Kelly's on TV. She's not that good. She just is the pretty, skinny, big-boobed, blonde Barbie that, you know, WWE thinks everybody wants to look at and thinks everybody wants to see, but you can't hate on the girl for taking a contract. I mean, and any of these indie wrestling girls, you know, there's a lot of us that think it's bullshit, but I mean, there's a lot of us who, are you going to turn down a WWE contract because they like the way you look? They think you look like a bikini model. You can't fault those girls for that. But the principle of the matter is, there's lots of us girls on this indie scene who bust our ass every night. We wrestle. We go to these sometimes shitty shows, sometimes getting stiff by promoters. You know, we bust our ass. We do much better matches than you see on TV today. And we don't get any recognition because your thighs are a little too wide. You know, your boobs aren't big enough. Get a boob job and maybe we'll talk. You know, it's girls like, of course, like myself, like Sarah Del Rey, you know, girls, you know, just on the indie scene in general, like, it is crazy to me that someone like Sarah Del Rey doesn't have a job right now. She's got a look. She can work awesome. And in my opinion, I think she's gorgeous. You know, she's not like a skinny, super skinny model. I'm not either. She and I, like, we're kind of built the same. But, you know, you see girls like that who bust their ass and fans love them. Guys think they're hot, you know, whatever, and they'll never be on TV because they won't live up to that cookie cutter standard that WWE has. And, you know, and I know, like, TNA's not as bad. But, I mean, there's some politics there, too. Some politics that I won't get into, but, you know, it's just a dirty business. When they say it's a dirty business, I mean, it is. It really is.
Yeah, we're kind of split on Kelly Kelly. I always look at it and go, okay, sweetie, my 2-year-old and Spug's soon-to-be 6-year-old have way more ring time than you, and that's scary.
Yeah.
But we were happy when we saw someone like Kong get signed. We thought, yes, finally, right. Kong. Uh-oh, pregnancy. Okay, so she's going away for a little while. And I thought, okay, cool. You've got a great division here with Gail Kim and Melina and Beth and Natty. And next thing I know, it's just like, yeah, where'd everybody go?
Right.
Is it because Johnny Ace is the and have you ever sent stuff to WWE or TNA? And if so, what was your dealings with them?
Well, I was supposed to be on the latest season of Tough Enough. Just some stuff fell through, and it just honestly, I'm not going to throw a bunch of excuses out there. It just wasn't a right time in my life to do something like that. I just had a lot of things going on. So I was, for myself, you know, I declined. I would have had a good chance. There was just the people that I talked to, you know, basically they have their eye on me. They're watching me. There's some things that I need to do with myself to make myself feel better. There's some things that I need to work on my own about me before I throw myself out there. You know, there's always room for improvement with everybody, and there's just a couple more things that I would like to work on. I've never said anything to TNA, nothing like that. I've thought about it, but yeah, I don't know. I just hear some things, I hear some stories from some people that kind of scare me and kind of deter me from there, and I don't want to sit here and downplay the company, because, and I'm sure there's a lot of wrestlers sitting right now, you know, who may be listening going, oh, Jessica, you're saying too much, but anybody who knows who Jessica Havoc is knows I do not censor myself. If I want to talk about something or I need to say something to someone, I will say it. And I'm not going to censor myself just because I feel like I might get heat with somebody or some place, whatever. I don't care. If there's something I feel strongly about, I'm going to say it. So, I don't know.
And that's why we love having you here, because we're not into shutting people up and censoring them. We're not
right.
That show. There's shows with morons and crap hole podcasts to do that. We don't. So feel free.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been wanting to ask this question for the longest time. Where did the name itself come from? Was it something that Shasta came up with in training? You came up with on your own? How did Jessica become Jessica Havoc?
Well,
and how did the look change? Because when you go to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com and you look at the portfolio for you, there's shots of you dressed like you look like you're a part of a 90s rock grunge band. And then next thing you know, there's pictures of you and Halle Hatred. And I'm going, hey, wow, talk about a total change in personality.
Right. Well, honestly, this is going to be just to have it going into dork mode here. But
that's cool.
Obviously, well, my real name is Jessica, but I actually got the name Havoc from one of my favorite bands of all time is AFI, and the front man, his name is Davey Havoc, and yes, I know he is prettier than me, I know that he is into penis, but I love that guy, and I've been calling myself Jessica Havoc since I was in the ninth grade, since I was introduced to this band. Shasta actually came up with my first gimmick, which was, he let me call myself Jessica Havoc, so obviously he didn't think it was too retarded, because he would have said something. If he has something to say, he will say it, so maybe that's where I got some of that from. But, you know, me being 5'10 and everything, he wanted me to be this big heel monster bitch. So, he came up with my first gimmick. I hailed from Munich, Germany. I dressed in black pants. I had these monstrous, scary black boots that every single time I wrestled a girl, they were like, oh my God, she's going to fucking kick me with those and I'm going to die. So I had these monster boots with like 4-inch flats on them. And then I had, and I'm 5'10 already. So these boots made me legit like 6'2". And then I had a white dress shirt with a black corset and a black tie. I looked similar. I looked like a mix between somebody you would see from Hellboy and Ivory's Right to Censor gimmick right in the beginning. That's just what he saw for me. I debuted as a man who played homosexual, Justin Diaz. I was his bodyguard. I debuted as his bodyguard. And, you know, I didn't wrestle a whole lot my first year. I probably only had maybe two matches a month. I wasn't quite sure. A lot of people, when we get into the business, we're pretty naive to how things work. We're not sure what's going on, everything, you know, whatever. So before I had help with getting bookings, I was only working once or twice a month. And, you know, I had this scary, like, German-sounding music with sirens and marching and scariness. And once I kind of started to go on my own, I kind of switched my style up a little bit, kind of started doing my own thing, which basically, I guess people could, you know, slap any kind of label they want on it. But, you know, I go for the darker look. I think it looks more villain-like. So, and I guess some people would say that it looks punky or alternative, whatever. But yeah. Or if you're an idiot from the East Coast, you'd say NASCAR, John Deere, whatever. But you know what? I don't even know. That's just retarded. But anyway, you know, that's kind of, I just kind of transitioned. I kind of used some of my real life, you know, style and threw it in with my wrestling, you know, just to look a little different. I think I stand out compared to a lot of girls that wrestle. But yeah, that's kind of how Jessica Havoc came about.
And she can take one hell of a vicious chair shot.
Oh, yes. Said, if you can get a copy of Uncensored Rumble where she went literally all over the Ace Arena with Alicia, yeah, she can take it and give it.
No, yes. No. A couple weeks ago, I was standing there giving Shasta my money for training, and we were talking, and we were talking about the website, and he says, have you seen anything else on there? Said, no. He goes, go look at the chair shot. And I went, the chair shot? And there's Jessica Havoc in the German dominatrix outfit taking this chair shot that I thought was going to kill somebody. I mean, it was vicious.
It hurt. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. When I started training to wrestle, I was the only girl. I trained with all guys, and I didn't know this at the time. I found out later, a couple of years later, overhearing Shasta talking to one of the guys he had booked on the show. We did a show in Toccoa, Georgia, and I heard him say, she's one of the toughest girls we've ever trained. When she started, we tried to make her quit. I didn't know that at the time. I thought they were being extra hard on me because I was the only girl. I would train 4 days a week. I got my mouth busted open at least twice a week. You know, they beat the crap out of me, and I honestly wouldn't have it any other way because I can handle anything because of that. So, yeah. That's why I'm so tough.
It's funny because I remember I remember watching you at the Quaker Steak and then going back, like YouTubing and looking up a bunch of stuff about you is that, and I said it to you then, it's really refreshing to see a woman who can work just as hard as the guys, and just as tough. You know, I appreciate good, strong, you know, style wrestling. And when I saw you rearrange Steffi's face with that kick, and
I love kicking people in the face.
I mean, it's on her dating profile, by the way. Likes Resident Evil, kicking people in the face. Mila Jovovich, kicking people in the face.
But it's really refreshing because I'm one of the, like, he said earlier, there's a split here amongst us about Kelly, and while I'm not a fan that she's the prima donna, prissy little Barbie doll, I have to give her credit because this is a girl 8 years ago who couldn't figure out how to take her bra off.
He has proof, by the way.
You know,
very nice.
So I have
now
to, I have,
WTR.
I have to give her, some credit, but I was a big fan when Karma came in, and then, you know, seeing girls who can actually wrestle and actually, you know, who aren't your, you know, big titted, you know, prima donna Barbie dolls is refreshing. There's nothing right. wrong with a curvy girl. Nothing.
Nope. That's exactly right. Not every dude is into the sticks and bimbo Barbie.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, before we did this interview, when I was telling you about Spug and Omega Mesa's show, Talk or Talk Live, and I said, oh, we gotta bring this up. What's the love for Resident Evil, and what made you, cause I said, on Uncensored Rumble 4, you came to the ring with an Umbrella Corp type look. Where did the love for this come from? Has this always been, were you a fan of the games as well, or just the film?
Oh, well, let me just tell you, okay, when I was in fourth grade, this is a dork coming out, but I don't care. I'm the coolest dork you'll ever meet. And if you don't agree, I'll kick your ass. But anyways, when
like,
I was in like
Steve Corino, when I hit your face, now we're gonna have Jessica have a go. And if you don't like it, I'll kick your ass.
But anyhow, since I was in fourth grade, I remember my mom, like, she used to clean this bingo hall, and it was her full-time job. She got paid really well. And once in a while, she would find, like, $50 to $100 that some old geezer dropped playing bingo, so it'd be jackpot. But anyway, she would take us to the toy store every time she got paid, and she would be like, you guys can have one video game or one wrestling action figure. So she came across this video game called Resident Evil. And she actually bought it for my dad. It was for PlayStation. It was the very first one, and it was like in the like for sale, like $2 games or something. And she bought it for my dad, and my dad was a total Nazi about his PlayStation. He'd be like, you guys better not fucking touch my PlayStation when I'm at work. And like, so when he went to work, and I do impressions of my parents, and so, they're not accurate at all, but I like to make fun of them. Anyways, so he wouldn't let us play his PlayStation, so he would go to work, and we would actually sneak and play it. And that's how I started playing Resident Evil, and I freaking fell in love with that game. Now at the time, I was terrified of it, but I'm like, oh my god, I want to, you know, how do we get through this puzzle? We need to get to the next part. And then it got to the point where my dad knew, like he'd come home, like, did you guys touch my PlayStation? And we'd be like, no. And then we would watch him play the game, and we would bust ourselves. Because he'd be playing the game, and he's like, I don't know where to fucking go, I'm pissed. I'd be like, oh, Dad, try over there. And he's like, what? How do you know? I'm like, I don't know. I just have this feeling. You should go there. But anyway, so that's how we got busted for playing his PlayStation. But then eventually it didn't matter anymore. This is all irrelevant. Anyway, so I started playing Resident Evil when I was in fourth grade. And I just kind of fell in love with the video game series. And I've been playing it ever since. I've beaten every single one for every console. My favorite is... I love Resident Evil 4 because I love Leon. He's my favorite. And then I also love Resident Evil 5 because Chris Redfield got super hot and his biceps are super huge. So somebody was doing steroids. Anyway, so yeah, that's how I got into the video game series. The movies I think are okay. I like that they're starting to throw, you know, original characters from the video game in the movie now. But it still irritated me because how hard is it to make a movie for a video game? Follow the effing storyline. But
yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking at your Facebook page now, and there's a shot of you with two zombies, and you have a cut off Umbrella Corp shirt, and I'm just going, yeah, okay, I'm not messing with her.
Yeah, those zombies in that picture are my brothers, actually. They're my younger brothers. They got to be zombies. It was fun to do their makeup and stuff. But so that was a pretty fun photo shoot, actually. They're big Resident Evil fans too.
Baseball Brawls 2. I got to see the Umbrella gear for the first time. She came out on the Gator on the golf cart.
That's the new and improved too. It's
is
like
that
the
new stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Like if you saw it in person, I mean, you'd be intimidated if you met me anyway because I'm awesome and I could kick your ass. But if you saw me
right.
in gear, you would piss your pants, legit. Everybody there did. Everybody peed their pants. They were scared.
It was sweet gear. But I tell you what, Resident Evil 1, great game. Resident Evil 2, however, that was my first introduction to the Resident Evil series was Resident Evil 2. And I was playing it at my dad's house. at about 1 a.m. and the house was pitch black and I just heard this
you
bang.
You shit yourself, didn't you? You got scared. You pooped your
pants. My dad, I was like 12 years old. My dad and my stepmom were out at the bar down the street and they came home and they saw me playing. All the lights are off. So my dad just starts banging on the window real slow. Scared the shit out of me. I don't
That's
think
awesome.
I came out from under the futon for about an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dude, Resident Evil is an awesome game. And I can't stand the movies, however. Can't.
Movies kind of make me mad.
Never made it to the fourth one. I did it after the third one where they're going to the desert and everything. And I'm looking at my then-girlfriend, now wife, and I'm just looking at her going, is this how the games went? Because I'll admit I'm not a gamer, so I'd never played them, so I was like,
yeah,
really,
no, they're nothing. A lot there's like they change so much, but honestly the last one, which is the one you haven't watched, is the best one. It's actually the best one, so you should watch it.
I have seen that one, and it Albert Wesker, that's just I can't
they got it perfect. I think they got it perfect.
They did, but I can't figure out who the big one is, because that's not Tyrant.
What?
The big zombie.
Got me, man.
The big zombie who's banging on the gates of the prison with a giant sledgehammer axe. That's not Tyrant.
That's the guy from Resident Evil 5. See, that's where they F shit up. They mix all of the games together in multiple, you know, and then they kill off characters that don't die in a video game. Here's the dork coming out and me again. I don't care.
We
but
dig
yeah,
the dork. We dig in the dork.
Guy in there. What's that?
We're digging the dork. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that he's actually from Resident Evil 5. So if you've not played that, then you won't recognize him. But yeah, they got him actually perfect. So from the game, it just doesn't make sense to throw him in that movie.
The last.
But whatever.
I'm not going to lie here. The last Resident Evil game I played was Resident Evil 3.
3?
Yeah. That was the last one I played was 3.
That's the one that scares the shit out of me, because Nemesis pops out of nowhere all of a sudden, no matter... It just... Like, it's different every time.
Yeah. That's not
always
fun.
I scream at the TV, and I'm, like, freaking out, and then I have to pause it and, like, go and... like relax for a few minutes and be like, oh my god, I need some water, and then I'll start playing again.
Yeah, I want to take this back to wrestling for a second here.
Yeah,
you've been a part of the event, this JT Lightning Memorial event that's going to take place on Sunday the 25th at 4:00. Before we talk about JT and everything, I want to gear it back to women's wrestling, because this promotion has held 4 different events called Girls Night Out. Who came up with that? Was that AIW? Was that the ladies in the locker room that came up with that? How did this all come about?
Well, AIW, just so we can get straight here, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling was run by JT Lightning. AIW has nothing to do with them. AIW, however, they're the ones that run that yearly women's show, Girls Night Out. They actually came up with it, and we've had awesome, successful shows every single time. There's always, every match is always awesome. But yeah, they kind of came up with it, and AIW, they have a really great eye for talent. I honestly wish at the last show they would have booked me versus Sarah Del Rey, but I guess Angel Dust, little skinny ass, deserved a rematch since I busted her wide open with a pair of brass knuckles the last time she and I wrestled and took her title, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, AIW came up with it, and the Girls Night Out always draws well, and there's always some awesome, legit women's wrestling, so.
And there's a person on this roster, I believe, called Super Oprah?
What the heck
is going on there? I look at his photo and I'm going, Rick Cataldo standing there going, I wouldn't touch that.
Rick Cataldo wouldn't touch that. The boy diva, he actually has standards. But Super Oprah is this crazy, big, crazy black woman guy. that he's actually whatever, very entertaining character, awesome wrestler. He and I, this doesn't make any sense, whatever. We've had some pretty crazy matches together. Let's just say bitch hits hard. yeah, but you would be scared to death if you saw Super Oprah in person.
I'm sure I would, because I saw the photo and I'm just going, damn.
I've seen Super Oprah in person, and yes, she is scary.
Yeah. to bring an unfortunate somberness to this.
Sure.
As I said, this Sunday is a memorial event for JT Lightning, and you've talked about him. Spug brought it up that he's going to be there in one form or fashion, and several promotions are involved in this. Spug gave me the list that it's also Firestorm Pro and Mega are a part of this. But overall, to your career and to a lot of others, give the fans that aren't from Ohio the grasp that JT Lightning had on Ohio wrestling.
Well, JT Lightning, he is one of the most important people who was in my wrestling career. And there's a lot of wrestlers in Ohio who will say the same. He was someone who knew how to book a show. He also, a lot of people knew him for his temper. Because he did snap on people quite often. And there wasn't a lot of people who liked him for a number of reasons, that being one of them. But he always ran the best shows. He had a spot on Sports Time Ohio with his Cleveland All-Pro shows. His shows were the funnest. His shows are my favorite. They will always to this day be my favorite shows that I ever worked on, because JT Lightning is the first promoter. He's the first person in my wrestling career who saw potential in me and pushed me to the moon. He always, you know, put me over huge. He always told me, you know, you have a lot of talent, you have a lot of potential, you can really go somewhere with this. He always brought in people, awesome people for me to work. I got to wrestle Portia Perez for the first time there, and man, she is a ball of talent. She was one of my favorite people, and she still is one of my favorite people to meet in this business. But, you know, and he let me be in a fun little angle, you know, with, you know, I got to wrestle Luna. She was one of my favorite, you know, she was one of my idols growing up. But he just, like, he just helped me through. He gave me a lot of good advice. He gave me awesome matches every single time. He would be hard on me. He would push me harder to make me be better. And it just, and he was like that for a lot of people. If he liked you, you know, he was going to help you. And he knew what he was doing, and he's definitely, a lot of people miss him. And like I said, he just did a lot of the best shows in Ohio. And, I mean, I really miss him a lot. Like I said, even my favorite promoters, he is my favorite promoter. He just did a lot for me, and let's just say, if it weren't for JT Lightning, I probably wouldn't be here now. He's awesome. So we're doing this memorial show for him Sunday in Cleveland. It starts at 4:00. It's at the Fantasy Nightclub, and all proceeds are going to go to his family. And I'm actually going to be selling my merchandise there, and every dime that I make selling my merchandise, I'm also donating to his family as well. So we are trying to urge as many people, as many, you know, even if there's workers that aren't on the show, as many fans, anyone who could come and just wants to support wrestling and help support someone who touched so many people's lives in wrestling and helped them, you know, succeed and what they wanted to do, they should come. Like I said, it's for a good cause, and, you know, we need to put on this one last show for JT Lightning and show his family that we care and we are there for them.
It's a hell of a stacked card, too.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that card is amazing. It's, mm-hmm. what, 12 matches?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's a pretty stacked, pretty good show. My match, it's me and my lovely partner, Allison Kay. We are wrestling Angel Dust and Mickey Knuckles, and we plan on cleaning house. And that match is for JT Lightning. I'm gonna bust my ass and I'm gonna kill a bitch.
You brought up Mickey. I wanted to ask, you brought her up. It jogged my memory about something. A couple of years ago, she took a pretty nasty spill while wrestling Sarah Del Rey and broke her leg about a week after what everybody calls the Mike Levy incident.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? The incident?
I saw the footage where she broke her leg and about vomited.
But we're trying to get at is, have you seen the Mike Levy footage?
No.
And no? Okay. No. I was going to ask you if you've seen it, how you felt about something like that.
No, I actually didn't. Sorry.
You're all right. See? Ruined it now. It'll never be the same.
That's okay. When I see you on Sunday, I'll kick your face and everything will be better.
That's fine. You should seriously, you should come and be an instructor one Sunday.
Yeah, well, a lot of times I have bookings other places or I'm coming back home from the ungrateful East Coast and whatever, but there's a couple of girls that are training now, so I'd like to actually get there anyway and give you guys some of the hardest forearms you'll ever feel.
I think that Justin Main and Christian Vaughn would disagree.
Well, you can ask Christian Vaughn about my hard forearms because I would legit bust his mouth open once a week at practice. So you could talk to him about that. I almost knocked his ass out cold at practice once.
I took a European uppercut from him 2 weeks ago during practice, and I have gashes on my tongue from it.
Well, that's because you had your mouth open like a dummy, probably.
I did. Learned me good, though.
The same Christian Vaughn who worked in TNA for a little while?
No, he did
okay,
not.
I must have him mixed up with the guy that was working with Rick Santel for a while. Let me tell everybody real quick before we lose track. The event, as said, is on Sunday, 4 o'clock. The address is 11802 Detroit Avenue. You can find the event, the JT Lightning Memorial Show, on Facebook. You can also go through the websites that are on there. CAPW's got matches there. It's one of those, I hate living in Florida because I can't get to certain places. And if I was still living in Nashville, my ass would be in a car driving up to this thing immediately. This just looks like a lot of people are going to come out and support this event. And hopefully a lot of people do it too.
I hope so.
It's going to be insane. It really is. I'm looking forward to it as a fan, looking at the card. I know a lot of people on there. I've known Sean Blaze for years, and Sean Blaze is actually one of the people that actually inspired me to finally get my shit together and stop being a punk and disrespecting things and get into a legitimate school. I've known Lamont for a while. I've known you for about a month and a half. So,
and you live to tell the tale.
She's gonna kick
so
me in
far.
The face. She's gonna kick me in the face at one point. And be like,
see, Steve Corino hates our face, and now she wants to kick you in the face. It's like, oh my god.
Jessica's gonna kick me in the face one practice, and she's just gonna look at me and say, "That's a receipt for the interview," and I'll understand.
Yeah, because she's not gonna be able to find me and beat me down. I told you this beforehand that to think about this. Robert
if you steal
Strong,
my thunder, I'll kill you.
Roderick, let me just let it be known that Roderick Strong holds the championship in this category now. So go ahead and rain down the thunder like you always do, sir.
Oh, this is my favorite because it's story time, and I love hearing.
Get out the milk and cookies.
Because I've seen.
I'm gonna disappoint you guys.
Oh.
See, Tommy, I have to preface this by saying Tommy Dreamer told one hell of a story on Saturday about Howard Finkel, and I'll tell you that one later, Alan. Because that one was hilarious.
Are you talking about the ribs?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What is the best rib that you have ever seen? Whether you were a part of it or had it pulled on you.
Nobody's going to pull a rib on Jessica Havoc. Are you nuts?
And you know what? That's the thing. No one has, and I think it's because they know I will kill them. And honestly, I'm so sorry to disappoint you two and everyone who is listening, but I have not, like, seriously, I just don't know if any locker room I've been in, they don't like to have fun or whatever, but I can't think of a rib even worse. I can't think of anything. Well, actually, this past Saturday, though, at MCW, when Tommy Dreamer was there, one of our MCW commissioners, GQ Status, is actually setting off live mousetraps in everyone's gear bags. And Justin Maine actually got it pretty good. And here's something hilarious. You know, the mousetrap goes off, clamps on his hand, and the first person he comes to is, he comes straight up to me, and he's like, is this your doing? Like, I'm the only asshole in the locker room for some reason. So, I'm like, no, douchebag, it wasn't me, but wish I thought of it.
What would be something that you, give us an idea of how devious Jessica Havoc could be. What would be something that you might do to someone like in the WSU locker room if there's any chicanery?
Releasing the T-virus.
That would probably be it. But I'd actually like to just take a machete. Allison Kay has a machete, legit machete. And I would like to chop everyone's head off. She has a machete. Oh, you know what? If you don't believe us, we'll bring it. We're going to bring it to all the WSU shows, and we're going to decapitate one person every time until all the trash is weaned out. That's what Jessica Havoc would do. I also have a pair of brass knuckles, too.
I think there's
but anyway,
a
I don't know.
Line.
I don't have anything good. I hear that if you put, like, a drop of saline solution in somebody's water bottle, it'll, like, rip their guts out and they'll shit their pants and, like, they get really sick. Lady Victoria actually told me that one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she's been in the wrestling business for quite a while.
Name sounds familiar.
But, yeah, she told me to do that to someone, and I always forget. I should do that. Damn it. I think my plan is spoiled. Because I could have done that to all those stupid bitches at WSU next time I went, but I can't now.
Yeah, let me remind everybody, this weekend, you're a very busy lady, so let me give you a schedule. Saturday the 24th, it's George's Cards and Collectibles, Cinemania 7 at the Bucks County Technical High School. As you said, you're going to be in a sanctioned match. Alicia and Brittany Savage will be on one side of the ring. You and your partner Allison Kay will be on one side of the ring. Sassy Stephanie will take on Rain at that event. Then you've got the JT Memorial event, which, once again, the address is 11802 Detroit Avenue, Lakewood, Ohio. Whereabouts in Ohio is that, Spug, just for fans that are looking at a map?
Lakewood is on the west side of Cleveland. You can get there by hitting 90, or you can get there off of 2, can't you, Jessica?
What's that?
You can get to Lakewood off of hitting 90 and Route 2. I mean, both of them run parallel to each other.
I'm not sure. I know you can take 77.
She knows how her GPS gets her there, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, GPS. Just get with it. Get buy a GPS if you don't have one, and go. Plug that address in and go.
Alright, she is all over Twitter. It's J_HAV. You can find her also on Facebook. So stay with us as we go to break. Coming up after this, we're waiting for him to actually get done in the ring at FUW. The one and only Jay Lethal will join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Watch out, because if you don't like us, Jessica Havoc will come kick you in the face.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling dogs today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Jerry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go!
Alright, hang on a second. Dun, dun, dun. The slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB rules.
Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You ask, better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
She wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Isn't me, have a seat. Let me clip dirty wings. Let me take a ride, cut yourself.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Thanks to Jessica Havoc for being so cool. Wow. It just keeps getting better on this show, and everybody is just listening to us for the first time because of Jessica. Thanks to Diva Dirt for tweeting that event out. We do this each and every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, and the list just keeps getting better and better. So we're waiting on Black Machismo Jay Lethal to join us. Spug is back with us on the show.
We're gaining steam.
We've had it, bro.
Well, I can remember, it's coming up on 2 years that I've been your co-host. 2 years that Mace and I have been your co-host on the show. You realize that?
Yeah, that's a long while for that.
March.
2 years is,
I said it's coming up.
Yeah, April, May, I don't know. I don't keep track of this.
I said it's coming up. I didn't say it was right around, I didn't say it was like tomorrow. I said it's coming up. But I can remember when we first started and we were rebuilding from what the previous folks did. And, you know, it was hard to get great guests, you know, great guests. And then all of a sudden we have George Animal Steel, which was a phenomenal interview, and Jim Cornette and Rick Martel.
Yep, just go back and look at our WrestleMania memory series if you can on the archives, and you'll see the great attraction we had. Roar Animal was a part of that. Lanny Poffa was a part of that. Yeah, the reason Polly was played is because this makes me feel really old.
It should.
Yeah, 20 years ago on September 24th. Of 1990, I believe it was 1991. Yeah, Nevermind was released by the one and only Nirvana, and it's just amazing to sit there and look at it. I know we've had Foo Fighter music on here, and I've done other stuff. Foo Fighter is really.
Mm-hmm.
I wish
I could afford to go. I would have gone. I like the Foo Fighters.
Could have been a roadie on the event. Why not?
I like Foo. Dave Grohl to me is one of those guys that after Nirvana fell apart, regardless of how you feel about what happened to Cobain, whether you think Courtney did it or you think he did it, you know. Chris Novoselic, I know he does a lot of production work and he's a studio musician, but Grohl, I mean, a couple of years after that, Grohl put together Foo Fighters, and look at him, he's a phenomenal frontman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was an event, VH1 Classic, and I think VH1 did it, where they did a doc on Grohl, then the whole Foo Fighter concept, if you can go through VH1's websites and whatnot to find it, just to talk about how like Pat Smear and the rest of that group came together after Nirvana unfortunately ended, and It was really cool. Allison Kays tweeted out, J-Hav is going hard on Wild Talk Radio, new at work, tune in, I love her. I want Allison Kay on the show eventually. We're gonna be working with, Crossfire Entertainment again in the near future, so you'll be seeing some names popping up in the next couple weeks, to deal with that, and also WSU with the Breaking Barriers, pay-per-view on November 19th. I'm not 100% sure who they're gonna give us yet. I'm working on some stuff. We're looking to see. Alright, I think he is ready. Let's see. Let me see if he's ready to get in here. Oh, I watched the, I don't know if everybody else that's listening did. Watch the iPay-per-view, from Ring of Honor. Definitely get it if you can. Because we're gonna talk with Jay Lethal about this event. But there's the Ladder War 3, phenomenal. Our last two guests, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards, brought the house down. So if you can find a copy of this through GoFightLive.tv, do it. We're going to reset our show in a moment or two here, so we're going to take a quick break here on Online World of Wrestling Radio to get the one and only Jay Lethal live from his event that he's participating in. So go to OWWRadio.com to look at every guest that Spug mentioned. And go out with, yeah, it smells like teen spirit. Pretty cool. Online World of Wrestling Radio, we'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make the order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Honey vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg. Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile. I like to sing with the radio.
I like to play it real loud. There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Oh, yeah, this is the black machismo for all you guys who out there thinking, who could this possibly be? Yes, the one and only, yeah, man, this is on top. And this is the OWW. Yeah, one more time, yeah, OWW, one more time. We'll see it again. It's the OWW, and this is the home of the black machismo. Oh, yeah!
Welcome back to Line World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you've been an indie show in the last few years and you hear that music other than Running for Your Life, you know that is the sound of the one and only Jay Lethal. And if you watch this past Sunday's iPay-per-view on GoFightLive.tv for Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor 9, unfortunately, he was on the losing end of a tag team match that we'll talk to him about in a couple minutes here. But the one and only Jay Lethal is back with us. Thanks for coming on, my man. He's there somewhere.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There he is. The not boring Jay Lethal, despite his bumper he did for us a few months ago. One of the most requested people, as soon as we finished the interview with you, our box at RadioAndOnlineWorldOfWrestling.com was filled going, when are you going to have him back on? We want more of Jay Lethal. And I was like, okay, fine, cool, we got him. I just mentioned Death Before Dishonor 9, you were a partner with the Notorious 187 Homicide to take on Tommaso Ciampa and Rhino. You guys were the actual opener to the Eye pay-per-view.
It's the Ciampa.
Oh, it's Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, I got it wrong. Nana's gonna come through Twitter and check my ass, I guess. Thoughts on this tag team match, and what was your initial reaction when Homicide approached you and said, "I need you to be my partner against the Embassy"?
Well, the best part about it was I hadn't been in the Ring of Honor in 6 years, but 6 years ago when I was in Ring of Honor, I was on the receiving end of many a Homicide butt whooping. So I was glad that finally he was on my team and I wasn't going to get my butt whooped. That was my initial reaction. But I mean, it was cool getting a team with him, especially against Rhino, who, to my knowledge, like I said, I haven't been back in 6 years, but I have never seen Rhino in Ring of Honor before. So it was cool getting to, go against Rhino, and also Tommaso Ciampa, who's beginning to make a little bit of a name for himself. I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but like I said, I haven't been to Ring of Honor in over 6 years, so I really don't know what Tommaso Ciampa has done there. I'm pretty sure he hasn't done much from what I hear, but he is on a little bit of a roll. So it was cool on all aspects, getting a team with Homicide and getting to wrestle my opponents. I enjoyed the whole thing, actually.
What was the atmosphere like? It seems to be that ROH is doing these iPay-per-views mainly out of New York. Is it because the Manhattan Center is just that great a venue, or does Kerry not want to take it on the road?
You know, I really don't know what the deal is with that. But I can tell you, I love wrestling in that building. That was my second time there ever. And from what I understand, they used to film Monday Night Raw. I was a poor child, so I never really got to go into any wrestling events. But I understand they used to film Monday Night Raw there. And that's just kind of cool, getting to wrestle in a historic place like that. But as far as why they keep choosing that venue in particular, I really don't know, but I mean, I'm glad they do because I love wrestling there.
Jay Lethal joining us here on All I World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Last time we talked, you were light, about 10 pounds. Tell fans how you came to be the ROH World Television Champion if they haven't been following ROH lately.
Well, luckily I was able to score a pinfall victory, which was no easy feat, by the way. I went 15 minutes with El Generico in Chicago for the television champion, and it went to time limit draw. Nobody won in 15 minutes, but luckily Jim Cornette, who is the man in charge, he came out, he asked the crowd what they wanted, and unfortunately, since it was a television match, we didn't have the traditional 5 minutes. We didn't have that much time left on the television show. I believe all we had was about 2 minutes, 30 seconds, so he said, well, hell, you might as well take it to the TV runs out. So we went an extra 230, and I think I beat him in maybe 210 to become the new Ring of Honor television champion. And what a thrill, because the Ring of Honor television start next this week on Saturday.
Yeah. Have they told you which of the events you're going to be seen on? Is it this Saturday or next Saturday? Have they given you an idea of when you're going to be airing?
That I'm not too sure about. I mean, one can only hope, especially myself. I mean, I hope I'm on this Saturday show. If not, I mean, I have no problem with waiting until next week. But no, they haven't. This is still new to Sinclair, so I'm not sure if they know. I'm not sure if they knew which one they wanted to air first. I mean, I guess you're actually going to find out exactly when I find out.
Yeah, and go to ROH.
Maybe you'll find out a second sooner because I'll be TBR, so I won't be home.
Go to ROHWrestling.com. You can find out the schedule for all of that. I know here in Tampa they're going to be on at 7 p.m. and then they're going to replay it at 10 o'clock. So get with your Sinclair Media provider and find out what's what. We have a question in our chat room before Spug jumps in. Jersey Girl in our chat room wanted to know, she wanted to know about you dancing in the ring at an October 29, 2005 event when you took on Curryman. Was this planned or was it something that happened spur of the moment? Do you know what she's talking about?
I know exactly what she's talking about, and I hate to be one of those guys that, gives professional wrestling a bad name by revealing any of the secrets. But I actually did have prior knowledge to our little dance-off, which was pretty nerve-wracking to me. I mean, I don't really consider myself a dancer. I don't go out to the clubs. I don't believe I've ever gone out with a group of friends and said, hey, let's go dancing. But, of course, Curry Man, and that's his whole shtick. Well, one of them anyway. So, of course, I couldn't really turn it down. And it really helped out. I mean, I don't think at that point I had much charisma or much of a character. I was pretty boring wrestler, Jay Lethal. That was pretty much all was it to me. But, I mean, that was one of the things that helped me start to come out of my shell, so to speak.
I can't stand you saying that, the boring Jay Lethal. You're not boring?
Maybe not. I'm not boring anymore, but I was.
Yeah, you,
Jay Lethal being boring is like Lita being chased.
Oh, hey now.
I mean, I went back and I did it the first time you were on with us, and I did it again today. I went back and watched old Jay Lethal promos, and I still, every time I get to the woo off, I start laughing hysterically.
Well, I know something else that'll make you laugh as well. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was during my feud with Low-Key. I think I finally got my hands on him at a Ring of Honor show, and we had to cut promos in the beginning of the DVD, and I believe I hit some cheesy line at the end of my promo, like, tonight is the night I've been waiting for, and I hit some kind of stupid pose because I thought that would be the camera out shot. Little did I know that, I mean, the wrestling was already changing, and my promo that I did may have fit back when Hulkamania was running wild, but not in the Ring of Honor era where the promos were, you know, they tried to keep it real. Like, it was not believable for me to, for anybody for that matter, who's about to go into a fight with somebody who's kicked their head in several times, to stand in front of the camera and hit this menacing line, tonight is the night I've been waiting for, and then hit some stupid pose. I mean, I laugh about it every time I think about it, but I get sick when I watch it.
Yeah, now I got posted on my Facebook page this afternoon, and then it ended up on the online the Wild Talk Radio Network site and Online World of Wrestling Radio of a Macho King video action figure introduction. Of course, the fans, the second thing that they wanted to know, as soon as we told them when Jay Lethal was coming on, they wanted to know how we would be able to coax Black Machismo out. Now, I warned them that I had to talk to Black Machismo's agents, which are hard enough to get by, and something about I had to promise a Snake Man wasn't going to be here, so... Can we talk to Black Machismo for a couple minutes, if it's okay with you?
Sounds like... You actually got Machismo's list of demands. You're a very good journalist there. You know, there'll be none of the Snake Man, maybe some cookies and milk, maybe some of that. But I mean, as far as hearing the machismo, I mean, I guess he's always got his head lurking around the corner somewhere, I guess.
Mr. Machismo, pleasure to talk to you. See, I was waiting for you. You like to talk to Jay. I was waiting for Machismo. I'm just wondering, with Hogan getting ready to step into the ring,
Liz, against Sting, you sit down. I had enough. I'm on the phone.
Is there any chance that we could see a Mega Powers reunion?
Not in this lifetime. Don't think so. That Hulkamania is dead. Yeah, Machismo's alive and well. I want to tell you something. Madness is better than the mania.
That works. I mean, I'll agree with that. I will agree with that on one simple fact, however.
Don't disagree with me.
The only thing I can say is that he did beat you at WrestleMania for the title.
Somebody's going off the script. I didn't agree.
Why are you bringing up?
How about we talk about Bruce the Barber Beefcake? How about somebody like that? Yeah. How about we talk about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat? How about we talk about somebody I destroyed? I'm not talking about Mr. Politic himself, Mr. Hulk Hogan. I mean, he's got his hand up. He's got his hand in McMahon's pocket. You know what I'm talking about? I was held down. And when we were in the Mega Powers, I was number 3 in the Mega Powers. I wasn't number 1. They had me in the back seat. But I'm coming to the front. I'm driving.
All right, well, okay, calm down, please. Let me ask this question. In TNA Wrestling, they had you with the Black Machismo Challenge, where you took on legends like Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and you took on Tatanka, who was a previous guest of ours here. Who would Black Machismo have liked to have faced next if they had kept the series going?
Well, that's a pretty good question. I would first like to take on Coco Beware. Yeah, not many people know this, but Coco Beware is a really, really good friend of mine. And if Hulk Hogan can bring in his friends, then so can the Machismo. How about that?
Would you have wanted to face Honky Tonk Man and get a little bit of revenge for everything that went on?
Honky Tonk Man said I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can make a romance, yeah. Honky Tonk Man said he's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, and that's a lie, yeah. Because I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. I'm the greatest, and I can beat Hulk Hogan, I tell you that.
How about, Mr. Machismo, we know you like rap. We know you're a big rap fan. How about a rap battle between you and one John Cena?
Let me tell you one thing about John Cena right here, right now, yeah. When I look at John Cena, I see exactly what I saw years ago, yeah. And that's Hulk Hogan, yeah. These guys travel in the same limos. They walk the same path. They eat dinner with the same man. I'm talking about Vince McMahon, yeah, that man. I'm not talking about Vince Russo or Eric Bischoff. I'm talking about Vince McMahon, yeah. So John Cena is a wannabe Hulk Hogan, yeah. And if he wants to handle things like a man, then I'll make a rap song about him too, because it was easy making that one about Hogan.
Would you support Linda McMahon in her upcoming bid for Senate again in Connecticut, or do you think politics is not for wrestling folk, just see the body and that's it?
I think anybody from the wrestling business, let me say it again, yeah. I said I think anybody from the wrestling business would do amazing in politics, yeah. Because, I mean, it's their specialty, especially Hogan. I think if Hulk Hogan wanted to, he could be the mayor of all 50 states, I'll tell you that.
While Spug composes himself, the man who unfortunately retired you at WrestleMania 7, Mr. Warrior, has come out recently, not in that way for fans that are thinking that, but he came out a few months ago on the YouTube channels and went after Mr. Hogan heavily. Your thoughts on the Warrior, the way he is now, as opposed to how he was at WrestleMania 7?
I tell you what, Hulk Hogan is a liar. That's first of all. Now on to your question. Do I like the Ultimate Warrior? I'll tell you this. The Ultimate Warrior and Ric Flair have something in common. Yes, they do. Yeah. Both of them have never, ever changed, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Neither one of them have changed. Hulk Hogan is a liar. Now, to continue my answer, the Ultimate Warrior, he's been the same person that I've known for 20 years, and so is Ric Flair. The only difference is, and I'll say it again, yeah, the only difference is Ric Flair, the things that he used to do 20 years ago, is now silly. Yeah, I mean, you got guys running around the bars with their pants down, trying to have sex. That's right, I said sex, yeah. Trying to have sex with the bartenders. I mean, that kind of stuff back then was cool, yeah. But right now, Flair, you gotta turn it down, yeah. Warrior, he's been the straight edge, same man that I knew, and him and I share a hatred. Yeah, we share a hatred for one man, and that's the king of the politics, yeah. I'm talking about Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad to hear? Isn't it sad to hear something like that about your beloved Hulk Hogan? I think not. I think the only reality that the wrestling business has ever seen when it comes to that man is when he formed NWO, which I was sadly a part of.
I'm going to give you a few seconds to catch your breath because we want to talk to another personality if you give me a second here. If you're just joining us, where the hell have you been? Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network, talking to the one and only Jay Lethal. You can follow him on Twitter at TheLethalJ. I would be behest. We didn't get to do it the last time you were literally in my house. We talked about, fans can go to YouTube and find the videos of your woo off with the one and only Nature Boy Ric Flair. Since it will probably never ever happen in my lifetime, do you think we could possibly talk with your version of the Nature Boy for a couple minutes?
That one is actually hard. It's hard for me to do the Nature Boy after I've done the Macho Man. I could have done the Nature Boy first. The Macho Man, because Nature Boy, I have to yell.
Because you have to do the whole thing and everything.
I think the only line that I could actually say without yelling that kind of sounds like my Ric Flair is, in one promo, he started off by saying, when you're living in a glass house. So sometimes when I walk into a locker room, I automatically, I don't quite yell it, but I do kind of stay quiet. Kind of loud, when you're living, so that one's pretty easy to do, but as far as everything else, I have to yell, and that one's, really? One's tough, so do.
Good job, Alan.
Well, I didn't know it was gonna be that hard. I thought he was like Kevin Spacey and that he could just flip a switch and all of a sudden he's there. There's my movie reference. Go look it up.
I dig the black machismo. I really do. I wish I had that talent. I'm struggling.
You want to know? I'll give you a little secret. The black machismo character itself actually, and not to keep putting myself down, but before I did the black machismo character, I was a pretty good wrestler. I'd say I could do all the moves 100% perfect, just like I was taught by Mikey Whip. But when it came to that, I mean, I didn't have that character that they say you need in professional wrestling. I wasn't extremely comfortable in the ring performing in front of very large crowds. But something about that machismo character just helped me become comfortable in front of large crowds. Sorry, there's a car going by. I'm standing outside to get better signal. But something about that machismo character that just made me comfortable in the ring, just in general, just being in the ring, in front of people, on the mic, whether it's on the microphone or not, doing Macho Man's mannerisms. I toss this idea around a little bit. It's easier for me to be the Macho Man for some reason than it is for me to be myself. And that actually helped me because it helped me become comfortable. And now I actually am pretty comfortable with just being myself, as you can see, in Ring of Honor, which starts next Saturday. Well, this Saturday, sorry, this September Saturday. 24th.
I meant to ask this the last time you were here, and I want to give it to the fans. Was it your I want to ask this in the best light here, but was it your decision, TNA's decision, someone in creative that said we need to put away the Black Machismo character? Would you have liked to have done stuff with Hulk Hogan on camera as Black Machismo a lot more than maybe you had done?
Oh, I would have loved it. I would have loved it. I think that would have been the peak so far in my career, or should I say, it would have been the highlight so far of my career. I mean, Ric Flair is a wrestling god, but Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. I mean, I think that would have been one of the biggest things I've ever done. Unfortunately, though, it was cut short. And I tell you, the funny thing, the reason it was cut short is because TNA went to England, and the Black Machismo, or myself, I mean, had one or two drinks on one of our off days and realized that he could do a great impression of Ric Flair. So once the office found that out, they got a big kick out of it because now I can do the Macho Man and I can do Ric Flair. And then all of a sudden, Ric Flair's in TNA. So I think it was one of those things where the office goes, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we get Jay Lethal to do the Ric Flair thing in the ring with Ric Flair? That's another thing. I don't think it was booked ever in a serious role. I don't even think it was supposed to lead to a match against me with Ric Flair. I think I just did a good enough job to make that happen. I think it was definitely booked in a comedy. It was only a comedy thing. I don't ever think it was meant to go as far as it did, much like the Machismo thing was booked in a joking way. It was booked in a comedy style fashion. I don't think it was ever supposed to go as far as it did, but I mean, I guess that's an attribute to how hard of a worker and how good of a worker I am that I was actually able to make it last longer than expected.
Yeah, you've been taking bookings through Bill Barron's company, which I believe is, I can't remember the name of it. Showbiz International, is it?
That's correct.
And, if a promoter,
Barron's, you can email him at showbiz@AOL.com. That is showbiz@AOL.com. And Bill Barron's will help you out with all of your Jay Lethal / Black Machismo booking inquiries that you may have.
That just led me to the next question. Are you able to do the Black Machismo character? Do you run into licensing issues with the Savage family or Lanny Poffo at all? Or are you able to go ahead and do it?
Actually, I have, I would go so far as to say I have a blessing from the family. I mean, I'm pretty good friends with Lanny Poffo himself. I've wrestled him several times. I just did a show with him in Canada. Yes, I am able to do the Black Machismo character. And believe it or not, when most people ask the Jay Lethal to come to their show, they ask for the Black Machismo in particular.
Were you
and
at the event?
Why wouldn't they? Black Machismo is such a great guy.
Was that the event that Greg Valentine supposedly no-showed?
That was the event, yes, and I had no prior knowledge to that. I found all that out via YouTube after I got home. At the actual show, I did hear some rumblings about Greg the Hammer Valentine was supposed to show, but something happened and he didn't make it. But as far as being at the show, I knew nothing of the story until I got home and saw the craziness on YouTube.
He is the not boring Jay Lethal joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. As mentioned, he is a part of Ring of Honor. We had Kerry on last week after Eddie Edwards was on, and he felt so far that the Sinclair Media Group's input has been good. How much input have they had at the live events and the TV tape that they did in Louisville?
You know, I don't really know how much input they had. That's more of an office style question. I'm actually still, I consider myself relatively new to this new Ring of Honor. I don't really know too much about what goes on behind the scenes as far as what the dealings are with Sinclair, but I can tell you that as far as being in the locker room from 6 years ago to now, I mean, it doesn't really seem like much has changed. I'm glad it hasn't. For starters, I have always thought the Ring of Honor had one of the best wrestling products out there. It's just their one problem was they couldn't get this product to the masses. They weren't given the chance. And I'm sure, like I said, they've always had a great wrestling product. I'm sure the fans are going to realize that once we get it out there.
All right. The next TV tape, for fans that are wondering, is October 1st in Louisville, which is Davis Arena, 4400 Shepherdsville Road. You're going to be a part of that event. Did you get to watch any of the pay-per-view after your match? Or did you have a favorite match or a match that made you cringe going, yeah, I'm not doing that?
From the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
That Saturday. I was a part of? The one that just happened?
Yes.
Or the first one that I was a part of?
This past one. The one that Roderick and Eddie did their 2 out of 3 fall one.
Oh, my God. My favorite match, it was actually my favorite, and it made me cringe the most, was the Briscoes versus the All-Nighters, that ladder match. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Talk about putting your bodies through hell. I want to say that I started wrestling around the same time as the Briscoe brothers, and they were so nice and polite, and I mean, they hugged my parents when they saw them. I mean, they still do it now, but it just looks like now they've just recently been released from prison. They're on some kind of insane workout regimen. Those guys are monsters now. And to actually get into a ladder match, I mean, those guys, I mean, I love them to death, but they're monsters in the ring. I believe it was Jay Briscoe who knocked his brother Mark Briscoe's teeth out. And they love each other. It was fast, no big deal. Teeth, they're just teeth.
Yeah, that look is scary when they come to the ring with those gas masks on and everything. I hadn't seen the Briscoes in a while, and all of a sudden I was like, okay, they make Dark City Fight Club look normal, and if fans have ever seen Dark City Fight Club, you know they're intimidating guys. go ahead,
Spud. I'm sorry. You keep talking to me on Skype. You're like, you going to say something? I'm listening, man. Last time he was on the show, I really enjoyed it, and he's you're very sincere and a very nice guy, and I appreciate you doing the Black Machismo thing, because that I find it absolutely hysterical.
I had to pay a lot to get that, so I hope you did enjoy it.
I did.
As also mentioned, it is the next taping is October 1st. That's in Louisville. And then November 6th, they're going to be in Collinsville, Illinois. And then Dayton, Ohio is night one of a two-night weekend for ROH. And then the next time they're going to be on iPay-Per-View, I believe, is Glory by Honor 10. I may be wrong on that one. So go to ROHWrestling.com. You can find Jay, as mentioned, through The Lethal Jay, which is his Twitter name. So thank you for joining us again. Coming up after the break, we will get into some brief news and notes on WWE TNA and how Floyd Money Mayweather is involved in WWE without you even realizing it. All in World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take care.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, so she is smart enough to say duck. He dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. The slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
L.A.B. Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to not only Jay Lethal, but Black Machismo joining us. That was absolutely phenomenal. If you want to hear Jay's interview for his previous event where he was literally in my house, scaring my two-year-old as he was doing that Jay Lethal promo that you heard, you can go to owradio.com and look for that one. Bring up, normally we're done at this point, but we're gonna do a little overtime here cause we gotta cover some, WWE, TNA, some UFC. Wanna bring up UFC because not only do they have an event this weekend, but, Spug's husband, Triple H, did an interview with, of all places, MoviePhone. MoviePhone during the interview brought up this question. They wanted to know, how do you think WWE and pro wrestling needs to evolve as UFC and MMA grows in popularity? Now, this is what Triple H said, so I'll breeze through what he said. He said, I don't think we as WWE have to evolve. It's two totally different things. I think now, especially, there's this thing like, oh, it's very familiar. I don't see us needing to evolve to what UFC does because, quite frankly, sometimes their fights are long and boring, guys lying around, and sometimes the fights are fast and over in 5 seconds. I've always thought of the things about us. If you look at us solely from a sports standpoint, it is that we always give you a good show. We're not going to give you a crap game. He goes on to say this, and this is what I wanted to bring up with Spug and everybody else. He says, I think if anyone needs to evolve, it's UFC and MMA. Give more of an entertainment standpoint. Give them form. They just have fighters who walk into the ring, to the octagon, in t-shirts and shorts, just stand there, and then they fight, and then they win, and then they go, thanks, I'd like to thank my sponsors, and then they leave. The whole world was up in arms when Brock was flipping people off and cussing at the beer company because they don't give him any money. And everybody thought, oh, my God, that's disrespectful. The whole world was talking about it. Agree? Disagree? Is Triple H out of touch here with the mass market that UFC has right now, Spunk?
Yes and no. If you watch Strikeforce, there's pyro, there's entrances, you know, it's very kind of pro wrestling-esque. If you watched World Fight League, which was the MMA circuit. They did the same thing. The thing with UFC is UFC is at such a point in their popularity and where they are that, quite frankly, they don't have to evolve. But at the point where they are, they should. Because if they grow stagnant, they're going to begin to lose viewership, and they're going to begin to lose fans. And so he's right and wrong, you know?
Yeah, I want to bring this around real quick. If you watch TNA Wrestling, I'm not going to go over every single thing that happened. Let me just let you know, this Thursday on Impact, they did announce that RVD and Mr. Anderson are going to take on Bully Ray and Jerry Lynn. Mickey James and Ms. Tessmacher
is Jerry
the
Lynn a heel?
Yes, he is. He got his revenge on, I believe it was at the pay-per-view that he, no, it was before the pay-per-view. It was in Huntsville that he finally screwed over Rob Van Dam for the last time, costing him his match, I believe, with Gunner to get Gunner into the Bound for Glory series.
Mm-hmm.
We're having this whole Queens tournament, I believe this thing is called, with the very annoying Karen Jarrett. So we're going to get to see Mickey James take on Brooke Tessmacher. Bobby Roode will have to continue running the Fortune Gauntlet set up by Kurt Angle and Immortal. This week he is scheduled to take on the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. So definitely go and check that out. And I want to apologize as a person of Online World of Wrestling Radio. I warned everybody that the match between Sting and Ric Flair wasn't going to be a five-star classic. And even with editing, it was not that good, and it made me sad to sit there and watch that. And I was, wow. Did you happen to see any of it, or did you avoid this like the plague?
Avoided it like the plague.
It was terrible, Alan. It was terrible.
Yeah, then that would be the god of internet himself. The one and only Sir Rockin joining us. Here he is, our technical producer and the overlord of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And the only one who probably saw TNA.
I watched it.
Oh, besides you, Alan.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it's in my contract. I have to watch it. Just like starting Saturday, I have to watch Ring of Honor on Sinclair Media, and everybody's going to throw it on there. And
I'm going to watch it. I honestly feel a little shit on.
I understand completely, and we'll save that for later on. You can express your feelings, but let's keep moving forward here for a moment or two. Don't forget, Bound for Glory is October 16th in Sorokin's neighborhood, not literally. Is that on the campus of Temple University, you told me? Where is this event taking place?
Right, it's right around the campus of Temple University. It's basically
it
their,
is there.
It's their building. It's not in the greatest of neighborhoods, so, you know, bring your weapons. And be protected as you get into the
or just bring Jessica Havoc. If she's handy, she'll kick somebody in the face for you.
There you go. I need some protection.
Yeah, Dolly wants some t-shirts.
She's not a chick you fuck with either. She's just not. Like, that. She can hold her own.
Alright, I'm guessing hopefully everybody that's listening to this is fans of other genres. Normally we don't talk boxing on All I Want Radio, but I had to bring it up. I gotta bring it up because it felt like when I watched it Saturday night, Mace did not want to watch. You, I believe, were busy. I think you were at MCW, so Rockin was kind enough to assist me in finding a way to watch this event. Ortiz versus Money Mayweather. And I'm sitting there watching this thing and four rounds and I'm going, yeah, this is good. What the hell was that? And the headbutt goes down, and then the referee does his thing, and I'm going like, there's a fix in here. What the crap is this? The next thing you know, Money Mayweather, boom, boom, down he goes. And everybody goes, no, boxing's not fixed. Bullcrap. I call the bullcrap card. That thing looked more fixed than anything else I've ever seen. But the best part of it was Larry Merchant gets in the ring, and you knew he was going to say to him, this was a tomato can fight you took. When are you going to fight Manny Pacquiao? And he jumps on Larry Merchant and says that he doesn't know crap. I'm using the cleaned up version, that HBO should have fired him. And Larry Merchant with a straight face looks at him and says, if I was 50 years younger, I'd kick your ass right now. You're in the ring. And I was like, wow. And I bring that forward because after the Night of Champions and your new world heavyweight champion, Mark Henry, flash forward to last night on Monday Night Raw, and Jim Ross does a promo with Mark Henry, and
You knew art would imitate life. You knew art would imitate life in that aspect.
Yeah, it was like creative sitting there Saturday, bored, going, fight. Yeah, Mayweather. Yeah, we paid him a lot of money to beat up Big Show. Oh, crap, look at that. Everybody get out your pens and write. Let me run Night of Champions. If you did not watch it, go to WWE.com and you can find out how to get the replay. The WWE Tag Team Champions, Air Boom, defeated Miz and R-Truth via DQ after the Miz snapped and beat up the referee who's actually just coming up from FCW here. Cody Rhodes is still your Intercontinental Champion, defeating Ted DiBiase Jr. We had a promo involving Sheamus and Christian, yawn. Your U.S. Champion, Dolph Ziggler, defeated Jack Swagger, Alex Riley, and John Morrison. As I mentioned, Mark Henry, after 15 years, and it's amazing to think he's been in that organization 15 years, kids, is finally the World Heavyweight Champion. I still want to call that the WCW Championship. I can't help it. Defeating Randy Orton, to the demise of a lot of folks here, Mace included, definitely included. Kelly Kelly is still your Divas Champion, defeating the hometown girl Beth Phoenix, which I knew was coming since WWE has such love for screwing over people in their hometowns.
You mean disappointment, not demise.
Oh, that's another good one as well.
Demise is not the word you want. It's disappointment.
Okay. I apologize. There were two matches on this show that Mace said that if they go the way he hopes they don't, he would quit Wild Talk Radio Network on the spot. He said if Alberto Del Rio lost his championship to John Cena, and if CM Punk was defeated by Triple H. Well, if you listen to Wrestle Talk Radio this past Sunday night, I stopped by for the opening half hour because I knew what was coming. Yeah, John Cena is now the 10-time WWE champion, defeating Alberto Del Rio. And your husband in a, I don't curse on this show normally, but I'm going to use the phrase, a clusterfuck of epic proportions that made me think Vince Russo was sitting backstage writing this show, defeated CM Punk. I kept waiting for the ghost of Vince McMahon to come to the ring and interfere in this thing. You had Kevin Nash involved. You had Johnny Ace involved. You had Miz and R-Truth involved. I think the little Jimmys got involved at one point. Since you weren't on Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday, if you could summarize your feelings on the way Night of Champions went down.
Haven't seen it.
Okay, but just looking at the notes that you've seen.
I've purposely stayed away from everything because I'm going to be watching it tomorrow.
So I just totally ruined your life. Damn.
No, I knew the results, but I have the, I knew the results, but I have it TiVo. I'm like, it's TiVoing right now. And so, when it gets done TiVoing, I will probably watch it tomorrow when I get home from work.
Monday Night Raw was definitely interesting. If you got to see, Hugh Jackman was involved promoting his new film. I believe it's called Real Steel.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I believe that's what Mace called it as well.
No, that's what it is. They've made a movie based off of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah. He was involved in an angle last night with Vicky Guerrero and the U.S. Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler. which led to Zack Ryder defeating Dolph Ziggler after a sucker punch from Hugh Jackman. This is actually from his Twitter account, which I believe is Heel Ziggler. This came from Jersey Girl who passed it along. Hairline mandibular fracture. Guess I'll put my Chipotle in a blender for a few weeks. It's not ballet. Hash mark heel, is greater than H-E-A-L or less than. I'm never good with figuring those things out. So yeah, welcome to professional wrestling when you have an actor. As I joked in the, following it on Facebook and on Twitter, I said, thank goodness Hugh Jackman wasn't dressed as Wolverine with the claws. Who knows what would have happened to Dolph Ziggler at that point. We had the WWE Tag Team Champions Air Boom team with Sheamus and Justin Gabriel, who I swear wasn't even anywhere in the ring except for the intros and the exits, defeated Wade Barrett, Christian, Joe Hennig, and David Otunga. Alberto Del Rio defeated John Morrison in what Mason Sorokin called a job match.
Squash. Squash.
Okay, he was squashed, fine. Unfortunately, the Intercontinental Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Sin Cara never happened, as Sin Cara got involved. And those crickets you're hearing behind me are the crickets that were in the Quest Arena last night. Or is it Quicken Loans?
It's Quicken Loans.
It is Quicken Loans. Okay, Quest is another building around
Quest
there.
Quest is in Seattle.
Gotcha. That's the football stadium. I'm sorry. Too many arenas in my head. But yeah, the crickets were out big time last night during that situation, and we're just going, okay. We had R-Truth and The Miz come and apologize to Triple H. I forecast for what's about to come down towards the end of the evening here, to let everybody know. As mentioned, we had Mark Henry beat up Jim Ross and then beat up Jerry Lawler to the point that Lawler ended up in a Cleveland area hospital. And I'm not laughing. I feel really bad for Jerry Lawler for that happening. But welcome to wrestling, Jerry. After 40 years, what did you expect when a 300-pound monster picked you up and dropped you on a table?
Alan, someone forgot to gimmick the table.
Oh.
That's what happened. Someone forgot to gimmick the table and, you know, boom. Someone gets hurt.
Most interesting. We had a tag team bout. Kelly Kelly and Eve Torres defeated Natty Neidhart and Beth Phoenix to the chagrin of everyone again. As Jackie Fife said last night, thanks for coming. I'm never watching a women's division again.
Suck it, Jackie Fife.
But that's her decision. That's totally her decision. And I'm intrigued to see because we don't know what's coming. We were joking around last night that here comes a heel turn from Eve or here comes a heel turn from Kelly, and neither one happened. But we progress. We never know. We had an interesting tag team match made up. This happened earlier in the evening with CM Punk doing a promo about his match with Triple H. Triple H came out. Talked about Cena, talked about Del Rio. Johnny Ace tried to fire CM Punk. Didn't happen. We had a very weird tag match, which was CM Punk and John Cena defeating the Truth, R-Truth and The Miz. And then your husband casually walks out, and here we go. We're figuring, we actually had on Twitter at one point, hashtag fire call, didn't happen.
God damn it.
We're sitting there, we're going, alright, cool, he's gonna fire, who's he gonna fire? The guys he just fined $250,000 each to, he fires Miz and he fires R-Truth. And then leads to an actual locker room brawl, which was pretty amazing to see. But are you digging this whole thing with Triple H, the COO? Would you like to have seen him be forced somewhere
it's
else?
Fine. He's doing all right.
Oh, Jersey Girl is leaving. Have a great night, dear. I know you have work in the morning. I'm heading there as well, too. We're wrapping
you
up.
You should stick around for five more minutes and hear the Dreamer Rib story about Howard Finkel.
Oh, we'll get there. Trust me, we'll get there.
I'm talking to her.
Okay.
Archive. Everyone listens to the archive. Continue.
Yep. Already booked for Hell in the Cell, which is next Sunday. Not this coming one. October 2nd. They're going to book an entire pay-per-view. Mace and I agreed. Why are you booking crap? You just had the entire pay-per-view here. You're going to carry it over, and you're going to use this entire blueprint on freaking Hell in the Cell. So sure enough, Teddy Long makes in between commercial breaks. The SmackDown Hell in a Cell is going to be your world champion Mark Henry taking on Randy Orton. Your Raw Hell in a Cell match is, for the first time, a triple threat, I think is the way they set this up.
Yes.
With your WWE champion John Cena taking on Alberto Del Rio, who is taking on the CM Punk. Now, whether the belt is going to be hot-shotted around again next Sunday, needless to say, we'll figure that out. Want to let everybody know, if you follow FCW, if you live in the Tampa Bay area, and I know some of you do, and you're a fan of Ring of Honor, you will know that one half of the Kings of Wrestling is no more a member of ROH, and that would be Claudio Castagnoli. He changed his Twitter handle to the name Antonio Cesaro and announced that he is a superstar in Florida Championship Wrestling. His Twitter account reads the following. Official Twitter of very European Antonio Cesaro, Swiss world traveler, FCW superstar, and coffee connoisseur. A universal European uppercut master. So that leads to the great question. We've talked about it here before. How far is Chris Hero away possibly from doing this? And what name would you want to give Chris Hero? Because obviously Antonio Cesaro is the one they've given Claudio here.
I have no idea.
Yeah, really? It's interesting. Yeah. There
Are you sure we can't talk about this, by the way?
Which part?
The article I sent you earlier.
You sent me an article earlier? Through which means did you do that? Did you do that through Facebook?
V1. That guy.
V1. Yeah, him.
Him.
Oh. Well, Mace isn't here, so I guess you can.
It is not violating a Mace rule. Mace is not here.
Okay. So go right ahead and speak about version one himself and his the further adventures.
Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, that's what he's turning into. A mediocre amount of success. Horrible problems with drug and alcohol addiction. And
Rebby Sky gets involved again.
The funny thing is, you know, He's going into WWE sponsored rehab, right? They're paying for it.
Right.
They're paying for him to get off the drugs. He had multiple chances years ago to get off the drugs. And this is the third time in less than a month that he's been arrested.
Yeah, it's getting ugly, isn't it?
Once a week, we've had an article about Matt Hardy being arrested. For the past 3 weeks, I have to say, it's getting a little bit old.
Well, you won't be seeing him for a while, let's put it that way.
No, it's North Carolina, dude. He might get 5 days in jail.
You sure it's 5 days, not just 2 hours? By the way they work their system?
Right.
I mean, 8 months gets you 10 days, so, you know.
Mandatory! A mandatory minimum 3 to 8 months, 10 days. Apparently they failed math in the South.
Wow. Yeah, so, but it, those we are will...
Your, those yeah. are your people, Alan.
Just because I live in the South doesn't mean they're
isn't
my
your Is it your woman's is from the South?
She's from Florida, yes.
Okay, they are your people. You married into that.
You're lucky she's not in the room listening to this, because the headset would be yanked off my head right now.
That's fine. Player of the archive.
Yeah.
Anything, okay. The further south you go from the Mason-Dixon line, the further south the IQ points drop.
Before we wrap up, how long is your dreamer rip story?
Oh, it's not very long at all.
Please go ahead and give your story. I'm sure the listeners want to hear this.
Well, I asked Dreamer the question at the seminar. I asked Dreamer the rib question during the seminar. And the first one he tells is about this guy named Rockin' Rebel who Heyman hated. And so at this one event, they were having this big rumble to figure out who was going to wrestle Shane Douglas at the, I think it was a Guilty as Charged pay-per-view, maybe. And Heyman told Rockin' Rebel he was going to go out and he was going to win the Rumble and yada yada. Well, Rebel goes out first. They toss him out, and every time he tries to get back into the ring, they legit beat his ass. And this goes on for about, I don't know, 20 minutes to a half hour before he left the arena. But then he goes on to tell one about Howard Finkel and I think it was Blackjack Mulligan. Or Blackjack Lanza. And Blackjack Lanza was a road agent. And there was this kid, they were in Minnesota doing a show, and there was this kid who had been training up in Minnesota and was the Golden Gopher, was the University of Minnesota mascot. And so this kid was talking to Blackjack Lanza, trying to, you know, asking how he could get into developmental, and Howard Finkel's in the ring practicing for the night, and Blackjack Lanza pulls the kid aside as he's getting into his Golden Gopher costume and says, "See that guy out there? He's the toughest son of a bitch here." And this kid's an amateur wrestler, right? And he says, "I want you to go out there and take him down. If you can take him down, you're in."
Oh my God.
So this kid goes out to the ring and double legs Finkel. Just in the ring, they're doing this little back and forth between Finkel and the mascot. The mascot doesn't even do anything, just double legs Finkel, takes him down. Finkel gets out of the ring, runs to security, trying to get him kicked out, trying to get this kid arrested. Lanza comes out with Laurinaitis, with Johnny Ace. And Johnny Ace is in on it. And Johnny Ace is yelling at Finkel that he needs to get back in the ring. How are you going to let this young punk show you up? You need to defend the business, or you're fired. So you have Finkel and the Golden Gopher mascot in the middle of the ring, legitimately fighting. Finkel's bawling because he thinks if he loses, he's gonna get fired. And this kid is just double legging the shit out of Howard Finkel and taking him down because he thinks that Finkel is the toughest son of a bitch that they have in the WWE, even though he doesn't look it, and he's trying to get a job.
Oh my God. That is good. This is the part where I thank everybody for being a part of this event. Tomorrow night is OTL with Spug, with Omega, Mace maybe? Or does Mace start his job?
It may start his job today. We don't know his schedule, so I don't know. Will Mace be returned? That's the question, because that could lead to the future of OTL.
If there's no Mace, there is no OTL.
Yeah. Are you going to be around Saturday night, or are you busy that you're not going to do tap outs?
I should be here.
All right. It is UFC night, which means Mace's favorite, the baby eater himself, Rampage Jackson, will be back
Jackson,
in the ring.
The baby eater.
Is it Jacques John Jones or John Jacques? How do you say this guy's name?
John Bones Jones.
Oh, okay. Thank you. John Bones Jones. I apologize. After that, you get to stick around for the one and only CB Radio with Godfather Extreme, Rob Park, Subway, and Sir Rockin'. What went down this past weekend so we can get people to check out your archive?
Pirate talk, pirate jokes. We listened to Keeks Drunk and played Name the Tune and random news and notes.
Was there talk of Skull Rock and Treasure Cove?
Yes, there was. There was a lot of talk like that.
Yes!
Check it out. CB Radio, midnight every Saturday night. You never know what we'll talk about next.
All right. There is no pay-per-view this Sunday, so Russell Talk Radio is back at the 10 p.m. hour.
Yes.
The great debate will continue with the greatest feuds in wrestling history.
Yeah, we postponed it last week, and we're doing it this week if we have enough people to do it.
And don't forget, we are back here next Tuesday night. We will talk about NEW, Northeast Wrestling. We'll be joined by the heavyweight champion, Matt Taven. And we'll talk some WSU with the one half of the Boston Shore. This will be a lot of fun. She is with the WSU tag team champion and took Mercedes Martinez to the limit in a 73-minute long iron match. A turn to an Iron Woman match. Lexus will be here. On the 4th of October, Brian Shields will be back with us. There's a new endeavor going on here in Florida that the one and only Howard Brody is involved in. If you've been on our show, listen to our show, you know of my friendship with Howard Brody, the legendary former NWA wrestling president. He will be with us along with Vito DiNucci that day. So that'll be October 11th. We will be doing some stuff with Crossfire Entertainment. They have an event on November 5th in Nashville. And don't forget, the WSUI pay-per-view is November 19th. We're working with them to get some great guests here. You can follow me on Twitter at my name is Wojcik. Spug's brand new Twitter name is
Kilted Wise Man.
Isn't there an underscore there?
Yes.
Yes.
You can also remember, it is J_HAV for Jessica Havoc. And do it, or she'll kick you in the face.
Yes, she will.
Jay Lethal is the Lethal J. Wild Talk Radio is, well, Wild Talk Radio.
That's simple.
Yeah, thanks to Spug. Thanks to Tim Stein. Thanks to Sir Rockin', Brad Dykens, Jason Dedrich, when they ever decide to say hi to me. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. UltimateSportsTalk.com. I believe Justin TV is also involved in here some way or not.
WildTalkRadio.mobap.at. Let's get out of here.
Absolutely. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.
WildTalkRadio.com.